History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. We've learned they don't have to go untold, as long as we're willing to do something about it. Sometimes all it takes is a little initiative to ask a few questions, combined with a willingness to listen, and you never really know what might result. Our goal here is to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And in the process, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we find ourselves inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. As your family gathers for the holidays, perhaps there's a veteran in your life who you ought to gently ask about his or her service to our country. Again, you never know where that might take you. This weekend is a very special weekend for some of the veterans we've met here on Hometown Heroes. A special 100th birthday parade in Bakersfield, California honors World War II vet Bill Glaspie. Last time on this program, we heard a few of Bill Pratt's memories from Pearl Harbor aboard the USS Nevada, and he marks birthday number 102 this weekend. But this past Friday night in Visalia, California, they gathered to congratulate World War II Navy vet Mike Kalustian on his 100th birthday, and I got to catch up with this newly minted centenarian. When you were a boy, did you ever think, hey, I'm going to live to be 100 years old?
No, I never thought I'd be that long, because everybody I know was dying at a young age. My young kids were dying under the 30s, and my dad and my mom lived them to be 80, and so I figured, well, I'll be going anyway, but I didn't realize I'd be going on to 100. But I thank my children, my grandson, everybody keeping me in love. Really appreciate what the dear Lord has done for me. Dear God, Jesus, I just thank you.
Well, you know, I've interviewed a lot of centenarians, people who are 100 years old or older. But I've never met a centenarian who has his own chocolate bar with his face on it and happy 100th. What's the story there? Where'd that come from?
That came from my granddaughter. Yeah. They decided to do something. They found this picture in the bedroom there, took that, went with Hershey and got the candy, went and got the napkins, the date 100th anniversary party coming up on the 100 years.
I'm looking at it here. It's got some information on the back. You know, you got to put the nutritional information on the candy bar, and it says the amount and the serving and the percentage of the daily value. It says ingredients, milk chocolate to commemorate 100 years of memories, joy, love, and life. And then it says love 100%, laughter 100%, family and friends 100%,
thank you,
birthday wishes 100%. That's pretty creative, huh?
Right. Thank you. I really appreciate my granddaughter and her husband and my friend, my Bill, my Karen, Nancy, Gail. They all work towards me, keeping me in healthy and straight. Gail makes the food for me. Gail makes the medicine for me. And Nancy makes the meals also. And I'm just, everything is wonderful. I got a wonderful son, grandson. And I wish everybody a wonderful thank you.
We'll hear more about Mike's 100th birthday a little later in the program, but I want you to know the rest of his story, too. He was just 96 when he first shared it here on Hometown Heroes, but it is quite a story, including the miracles it required for him to even exist in the first place, when you think about what his parents endured in escaping the Armenian Genocide.
My dad was in World War I. My mother and her mother and her brother somehow escaped Turkey all the way somehow through to Marseille, France. And there she was invited by a relative to meet her husband. And they were married at an age where she never knew her husband, never knew him, never, except that he was from the same part of Turkey. My mother, by her uncle, Agopian, came all the way to South Milwaukee, where she resided, and her children.
So your father was in the U.S. Army in World War I?
Right, yeah.
So his family had immigrated earlier.
No, my dad, his folks got killed in during the massacre in Turkey, my dad somehow got to America and joined the army. And then after the war, my uncle my mother was an orphanage in Marseille somehow, and somehow Rolda invited his niece to come and meet my dad in New York. And there they got together and got married, and my mother was about maybe 12 years old at the time. My dad was working in a foundry at the time, and my mother was a mother and raised children. Her first child died, and then I was born. 3 years later, my sister was born. Then 4 years later, my brother Harvey was born. And that was our story of the South Milwaukee growing up.
So your mother was 13 when you were born.
Yeah.
And I'm just pressing back in here because this is so unlike what most of us are used to. Such an unusual situation. So your father, both of his parents were killed by the Ottoman Turks.
Right.
And your mother's parents also?
Yeah, except my mother. Her dad was killed by the general. My grandma somehow, with her son and daughter, migrated from Turkey to Marseille. In Marseille, France, my mother put in an orphanage, a sulfur home. Mm-hmm. And there, I don't know how, an uncle introduced my mother to her husband-to-be. Never knew who he was. And they got married in New York and came to South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There they grew up and had their children.
It's a pretty unusual and incredible story, isn't it?
Right. Well, in the little sanitary where she lived, she was Turkish-speaking and my dad was Armenian-speaking. So when they were in the orphanage, the home, my mother couldn't speak Turkish. She had to learn Armenian or she would get slapped in her hand. Don't talk Turkish. That's not good. Don't talk it. You talk Armenian. And so, hick by truck, she got to learn Turkish through my dad. And then we had Armenian, and we couldn't understand Turkish because we didn't know it at that time. Mm-hmm. But later in life, we got to learn the language.
How much of all of that did you understand as a young boy? Because that's a big deal there.
She would never explain the worst part of it, the war. She would just explain, no, that's no good. Don't talk. That's not good. Just listen to what I tell you. She never told us how my grandpa got killed, how they experienced from Turkey to France, Marseille.
And I don't want to overemphasize this, but, to me, it seems almost miraculous that you exist because...
Yeah.
It's pretty unique that your mother, a young girl, was able to escape because a lot of girls in her circumstances did not escape.
Right.
Or they were taken by the Turks and made whatever.
See,
and your father, his parents are killed, and he gets here, and he earned his citizenship by serving in the Army, World War I.
Right.
What a story for you to be born into.
Right.
And while we're on that topic, because, we hear on this program, we talk about World War II, and oftentimes that involves... the Holocaust and what the Nazi regime did to its prisoners. But the issue of World War I and the Armenian genocide is still somehow debated and still denied by some people in the world.
Right.
How do you react to that when you catch wind of people saying, no, that didn't really happen?
Well, we have to fight the battle with them. We can't win the battle no matter what. They say, oh, no, that didn't happen. But I can tell it happened because my mother... and her mother came all the way from Turkey and explained the massacre of how they survived. My mother got to Marseille, France, but a lot of relatives went to Syria, Iran. They all dispersed. That's what they call diaspora, They all went wherever. And my mother's home got to Marseille, France somehow and put her in a orphanage home.
Yeah. So you grew up with no grandparents.
Right.
And a mother who's still a child.
Yeah,
really?
Right.
And this is during the Great Depression.
Right.
What do you remember about those early years in Milwaukee?
We just grew up like we are. We grew up as in that we didn't have money. We didn't have money. We used to go up and down the alleys looking for stuff to sell to the junk man, But We never did work anywhere in our industry like now. These kids get out of school, they can get a job right away. We didn't have anything. We didn't have any McDonald's or whatever. We had to go. And if you're older, you couldn't get a job because you were too young. So all we did was fun on the going to Lake Michigan and swimming in the water and watching them with some fishing, whatever. Mm-hmm. We never did have any experience of working, making some money.
Do you remember having some ideas when you were a kid? Hey, when I grow up, this is what I'm going
to
do?
Well, when I was in high school, my idea was to join the Navy. I don't know how, but I wanted to join the Navy. And the guy from the Navy Department came to my home and wanted my mother to approve my dad to go in before high school in 1942. My mother says, no, you're not taking my son until he gets from high school. I want to see him graduate. He's the only one that's going to graduate from high school. So I finished high school in 1942, and I went and tried to help my folks out by helping a little bit. Then finally I said, Ma, I want to go in the Navy. And that's what happened. I got into the Navy, got into Great Lakes, got on the, whatever they call it, boot camp. Mm-hmm. And then from there we went by our train to San Francisco. We got on a battleship, San Francisco to Hawaii. In Hawaii we got our ship at Pearl Harbor, and that was it. Our young was from, like, say, 15 years old. We were just a gang of kids at home. We just got together neatly. We never fought. Never had like these nesekers now doing, you know. We just, as a gang, we talked nicely with each other, except once in a while, the Polish guys and Armenian guys would get together and have a little fracas, but that was about it. Yeah. We never had guns, never had knives, no. We just fist fight, that was it.
Here in Visalia, throughout the San Joaquin Valley, people have become familiar with Armenian cuisine. Was there something your mother used to make, homemade Armenian food growing up?
Oh, yeah. My mother used to make, she had a rolling pin and dough. She would make dough, roll it out, and make this pinch real thin dough. She cut it in squares and take each dough with a little piece of meat, inside ground beef, put the meat in and pinch it like a wing nut. That was hard, but it was a little bit old. And then she could make cheese puff. Same thing, take the same dough, put bobs of cheese around, lift the other half of the other dough over and cut it out and fry it. But she used to make baklava like mad for me. That's back, and I didn't like it. She made lokum, that red candy-looking thing. The Turkish delight. Uh-huh. She would make that. Whatever I wanted, she would make for me.
Grape leaves, too?
Grape leaves. We used to suffer because grape leaves, you can't find in Wisconsin. You had to go in the wooded area and look for a place, and we got poison ivy and whatever, trying to find grape leaves. Here in California, you got ivories, tons of ivories. Oh.
So you got poison ivy trying to find grape leaves.
Oh, yeah. I got poison ivy. Bad. Oh, I hated that. Ma, I don't want to. No, come on. We got to get grape leaves. Go to Reishi. Go to Kenosha. Any wooded area, you look for grape leaves.
Never heard one like that. What was the high school you went to?
South Milwaukee High.
Did you play any sports there?
The only thing I played with was boxing. Uh-huh. I attended the boxing match and learned how to box in the Navy. In high school and in the service, had to box.
Well, you talked about wanting to go in the Navy and having to convince your parents. But before that, you know, something happened that I always like to ask about because it seems like everybody remembers December 7th, 1941.
Right.
So I'm guessing since your birthday is December 17th, you're just looking forward to turning 18.
Right.
And then something happened. So how did you find out about Pearl Harbor and what happened there?
Well, you know, it was a Sunday morning. I was on my way to Armenian Church. And by home, I stopped at, we had a place called the Cigar Store. It had four pool tables. So I went in there for a short time to see what was going on with the guys. And that's where war came over the radio. And that's when we knew that December 7th, the war was gone. And I said to my folks, oh, I want to go. She said, no, you're going to finish school. And that was my story about waiting to grant from 1942 until I got December.
Did that shock you at all that the Japanese attacked, that now America was at war, or did you kind of see it coming?
You know how young kids are. You know, hey, so we'll go there, we'll kill them, you know, we'll go fight, you know. But no, we weren't, I don't know if I had that kind of anger in there. I just know that it happened. I was on my way to church, and that was it.
It's time for our first break, but when we come back, some of Mike Kalustian's memories aboard the USS New Orleans during World War II. You can find a photo of one of America's newest centenarians and his special 100th birthday chocolate bar at hometownheroesradio.com. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for way too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I gotta tell you, when it comes to your money, I think I've found a better way with EECU. Just take a look at myeecu.org and I think you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a not-for-profit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Over 350,000 members now in 12 different California counties and access to more than 30,000 co-op ATMs and free online and mobile banking. What I love most is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. A decade ago, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. By the end of this year, more than 1,800 veterans will have seen their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement that EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 1-800-538-3328.